Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
We wanted to have a look today at how the pandemic has changed our skincare habits, and I'm joined by Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist at the BlackRock Clinic. Rosemary, good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for joining us. So lots of people are at home, maybe not applying as much makeup as they might do normally, and the skincare habits might have changed. What have you noticed?
Well, one thing I noticed is that people seem to think that because they're working from home, they don't need to put on their sunblock every day. So I know I'm always harping on about it, but I'm sure they haven't stopped washing their teeth every day because they're working from home.
We hope not.
And, you know, and people are sitting at home. They're sitting in rooms all day where there are usually windows, I hope, and they forget that UVA comes through the window. And I'm actually seeing the side effects and the problems of that, particularly at this time of the year. Around March, we see a lot of our patients with pigmentation like melasma, and people with rosacea, conditions that flare up with the sun, they're flaring up. And when I interrogate the patients, it turns out that they really only barely put on the sunblock if they're going out for a walk. And the other thing I find is that putting the masks on and off increases the chance of wiping the sunblock off. So we have to be a little bit more vigilant about reapplying.
Okay, I have a query actually about rosacea. I have bad rosacea on my nose since giving birth 6 months ago. It's like I have a permanent red nose or a whiskey nose, as it's sometimes called. What can I do, Rosemary?
Well, you can do a lot. And I think the trick there is to start doing it early and not wait a couple of years, because what that lady sounds like has happened is she's got new blood vessel formation from rosacea. So there are different types of rosaceas, and some of them are spots and lumps and bumps. They would be commonly recognized. But some people will just develop broken blood vessels and flushing, often in a butterfly pattern across the face. And we can nip that in the bud very easily with laser.
Okay, and we've another working from home one now. This person is on a laptop a lot and out in the garden. In recent days, I've noticed a small skin rash, reddish pimples pattern, but only on my left hand. I've no idea what it is. Do you have any idea, Rosemary, what that might be?
Absolutely none, because really there are so many things that could cause a rash. But the question is, has she been doing something? So, for example, gardening, I'd often put a glove on one hand. So has she got a glove on the hand that's gardening? Has she been applying something to one hand, or did she rip up the weeds? Has she touched some plants? You can get what's called a phytophotodermatitis, whereby certain plants will actually give you a rash. So it might depend on what she's been working on in the garden. Is she left-handed? There's going to be a logical answer for that one.
Yes. Okay. Now, just I want to ask you about mask wearing as well, because some people are wearing masks literally for their entire working day. Are you seeing any impacts of that on the skin?
Well, I'm one of those people, and I personally am having no impact apart from often a little dry patch on the tip of my nose where the mask hits. But the mask I wear in clinic would be quite loose and allow a lot of air. Air through, it's quite aerated. And the people where I am seeing problems with the masks are the nurses on the COVID wards or in ICU. And the people who have to wear those incredibly tight masks pressed right into their face, and they're wearing them for 6 to 8 hours, and it's like the Amazonian rainforest under there. It's hot and humid. So I am seeing acne and rosacea flare-ups in those patients. But what I usually advise is wash and dry your skin before you put the mask on. I'll often give them an acne or rosacea cream to put on and nothing else. No sunblock under the mask for the girl in ICU. There's no need. No makeup. Nothing at all, because you want to just let the skin, let the perspiration come out and not be blocked. And if they've any little infection under the mask, it does need to be treated quite actively, because it will spread again in that very warm, humid condition. But I think a lot of people are attributing everything under the sun to masks. And I hear people saying, oh, I think this is the mask. And it turns out they only wear it to Tesco, you know, twice a week. Mm-hmm. And it's not the mask.
Another one here, which is attributed to mask wearing. You can tell us whether this is right or not. I've developed dry, flaky, itchy skin around my nostrils. I'm presuming, says this listener, it's because of the masks, as it's only developed since the start of lockdown. Can Rosemary help, please?
Well, it sounds like she has a condition called seborrheic dermatitis, or she has a little infection called paranasal dermatitis. And they are infections that we see, and skin conditions, we see them all the time anyway, Claire. So whether or not this is coincidental, or whether this person wears a mask all the time and it's just allowing it sort of develop a little more, it's really hard to say. But both of those conditions are very easy to treat if she pops along to her doctor.
Okay, let's take another one. I have been prescribed Protopic cream for contact dermatitis. It burns my face when I use it. Oh gosh, that doesn't sound good.
No, that's a great question, Claire. And the reason being because I'm really glad she brought it up. Protopic is one of my favourite creams. It's not a steroid. It won't thin the skin. It doesn't cause glaucoma or cataracts. So it is our favourite cream to be using on the face. But in a tiny minority of people, when they put it on, they get this burning reaction for the first few days. And if she will put up with that burning reaction, for 99.9% of people, that'll go. And she will be left with a really good, safe treatment for her facial dermatitis.
Okay, look, she gives more detail, Elizabeth, who got in touch with us on this. She says she's at her wit's end because the face flares up. It can't tolerate the heat. She's got a rash around her eyes and on different areas of her face. It fades, but it doesn't go away, and then it flares up again.
Well, again, it depends on what the cause of the dermatitis is. So, and it depends on how she uses it. So there is a particular way of using these treatments for conditions. People often tend to think, Claire, that because it's on my skin, there must be a cure. Whereas when they're told they've insulin-dependent diabetes or hypertension and they're told they're on treatment for life, they accept it far more willingly. So a skin rash like she's describing, she might well have seborrheic dermatitis, and it may be with her for life, but that doesn't mean that it can't be fully controlled, so it's not visible. So she just needs to be put on a regimen to keep this under control. And it might be as simple as putting on the Protopic once she gets used to it, if she gets used to it, two consecutive nights a week for the next year. And that was developed by a fantastic dermatology group headed by Hal Williams in Nottingham, where they found if the patient uses the anti-inflammatory, be it a steroid or a Protopic, if they use it regularly, even when the skin looks good, by the end of the year, they will have had fewer flare-ups and will have used far less medicine than if they just take the put-out-the-fire approach. So I think she just, it sounds like she's probably with a dermatologist if she's been given Protopic, and if not, I think she should pop along to a dermatologist.
Right, let's move on then to an SPF question. Your favourite topic, Rosemary.
Indeed.
I wear sun cream, says this listener, but always wear makeup over it. And the question is, does the SPF work under makeup?
Definitely. And I think the makeup will give her a little protection as well. But what I would suggest, unless she really feels she needs the makeup for coverage, and by the way, that's another nice thing about working from home, we can get away with less makeup, and I'm recommending people use more tinted sunblocks. She should try and find a tinted sunblock where the colour is provided by iron oxide rather than just pigments. Because there were very good presentations at a conference back in October where they said that the iron oxide is particularly effective against visible light. So this would be very relevant for us Irish people who develop pigmentation, particularly melasma or sunspots. When you put the makeup on over the SPF, it doesn't dilute it. Now, it doesn't add any. Sometimes there will be factor 15 in the makeup. I would disregard that because you're only using a small amount of makeup, so you're never getting the factor 15 unless you use nearly a teaspoon on your face, which you won't be doing. So I often think about some of my far older patients who in the skin cancer clinic who have been around at times when we really didn't have sunblocks. Like when I was growing up, there was only a factor 4, Amber Solaire pretty much, and factor 8 was considered high. So these women often just use makeup, and the skin on the face was often very well protected by a thick layer of makeup, just the physical protection.
It did the job just as well.
It certainly helped.
We have a swimming question now. Can you ask about skincare? What is the best cream for your skin before swimming in a swimming pool? I assume this is for a post-lockdown. This listener says, after 3 or 4 visits, my skin gets itchy red rashes. I'm told it's chlorine. I shower thoroughly and I tried various barrier creams, but nothing works. I'd say that's a fairly common one, is it, Rosemary?
It's certainly well recognised. And the problem is she may well be allergic to something and she may have to find a swimming pool without the chlorine. I think there are ozone pools, etc. So she might go for allergy testing and see can she ascertain what she's allergic to. But otherwise, I would do what she's already doing. I would cover the skin with a barrier cream beforehand. The thicker, the better. I don't normally like creams like Silcox Base because they're so thick, and or a paraffin gel. Paraffin gel is a good one. But again, be very careful in a child because you don't want their little armbands to fall off if they've slippy arms. So I would cover the skin beforehand with that, and I would shower immediately afterwards and apply a bland moisturiser.
Okay, but if you have a reaction to chlorine, there's not that much you can do about it, would you say?
You may be in trouble. You may have to find a pool that doesn't use chlorine as their antiseptic.
Okay, or a different exercise. My daughter has persistent spots that come and go on her forehead and temples. They've tried antibacterial wash followed by antibiotic cream, Rosemary. There's been no improvement. Grateful for any advice.
The doctor. Straight into the doctor, okay. Particularly when you say the temples. The temples are an area that can scar very easily, even if they're only little small spots. So she needs systemic treatment for her acne. She's going to need a tablet and food advice and skincare advice.
Dr. Rosemary Coleman, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.